tradition of informative and educational broadcasting, this is WSOU, South Orange, New Jersey.
Այս New Jersey հայկական ռադիո ժամն է։ Այսօր մեր հեռախոսը գաղորդվի New York քաղաքեն Times Square-ին։ Մեծ New York-ի եւ շրջակա քաղաքներին եւ նահանգներին հայ ընտանիքի եւ անտամները եկած են Times Square, ուրբիդի հավաքվին ոգեգոճման առողջության մեծ նիղերնի 111-րդ տամյակի համար։ Այսօր գարկենք հայ ժողովրդի միուգիս միլիոն նահատակներու հիշատակը։ Այսօրվա հավաքը New York Times Square-ի մեջ գազբագերբած է վարդանած ասպետները մասնակցությամբ այլ գլխավոր հայ գազմագերբություններուն։ Անոնց համար, որ ինգանս մեզ ազատ ուզելով, սերդերը մեր քովեքով գլան այսօր մեկ խորան։ Ամեն դարի համայն հայությունը աղոտքներով, սկանտեստերով, ցույցերով, խմբագրականներով, ռադիոյի, տելևիզիոնի հայտակերներով գվոկի գոչեն մյուգիս միլիոն նահատակներու հիշատակը։ Մեր այսօրվա հայտակիրը գնվերենք մեր բոլոր ուղղություններուն, մաղթելով, որ բոլորս վարբայենք հիշատակը մեր նահատակներուն և պաշտպան գենանք հայ ասկի շահերուն։
Ils sont tombés sans trop savoir pourquoi, hommes, femmes et enfants qui ne voulaient que vivre avec des gestes lourds comme des hommes ivres, mutilés, massacrés, les yeux ouverts des fois. Ils sont invoquant leur Dieu au seuil de leur église, ou le pas de leur porte, en troupeau de désert qui du vent entorde, terrassés par la soif, la faim, le fer, le feu. Nul n'éleva la voix dans un monde euphorique, tandis que croupissait un peuple dans son sang. L'Europe découvrait le jazz et sa musique, les plaintes des trompettes couvraient les cris d'enfants. Ils sont tombés pudiquement sans bruit, par milliers, par millions, sans que le monde bouge, devenant un instant minuscule fleur rouge, recouvert par un vent de sable et puis d'oubli. Ils sont tombés, les yeux pleins de soleil, comme un oiseau qu'envole une balle fracasse, pour mourir n'importe où et sans laisser de traces, ignorés, oubliés dans leur dernier sommeil. Ils sont tombés en croyant ingénus que leurs enfants pourraient continuer. Moi, je suis de ce peuple qui dort sans sépulture, qui a choisi de mourir sans abdiquer sa foi, qui n'a jamais baissé la tête sous l'injure, qui survit malgré tout et qui ne se plaint pas. Éternelle des temps, au bout de leur courage, la mort.
d'être enfant d'Arménie.
I welcome you all to sing along and stand if able in accompaniment of the Hometown Scouts. Thank you.
You're tuned into the Armenian Radio Hour of New Jersey on 89.5 FM. We are trying to connect with New York, and the national anthem can be heard in the background. Let's listen to it. Once again, you're listening to the Armenian Radio of New Jersey. Every year on April 24th, Armenians around the world, along with many other nations, commemorate the 111th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. The Armenian Genocide, the systematic and premeditated killing of over 1.5 million Armenians, was perpetrated by the government of the Young Turks in various regions of the Ottoman Empire, beginning in 1915. Today's program is dedicated to the memory of those Armenians who perished in 1915. This program is also dedicated also to the resurrected Armenian nation. We join our community of metropolitan New York area and bring to you a live feed of the program that is taking place in New York, Times Square, dedicated to the Armenian Genocide. The radio volunteers are all in New York City, and along with other help, all aspects of the programming are being taken care of. We thank them all who are working with them. Today is also a celebration of Armenian life. What better way to honor the memory of our martyrs than to send a clear message to them and to the world? We are here, and Armenia is alive. Անշուշտ գլսենք մեր հայրենիքը Նյու Յորք քաղաքեն, բավական հստակ չէ, լավակունից կնենք բարելավել այս ծայնի վոլյումը և շատ շուտով գուսենք այդ բարելավի և լրիվ մատակը։
Good afternoon. My name is Naidi Dirakpuyan, and I am the Executive Director of the ANCA Eastern Region. I'm pleased to invite His Eminence Archbishop Anushavan Tanyanyan, Prelate of the Eastern Prelacy of the Armenian Apostolic Church of America, for the invocation.
Before the prayer, I would like to say that yesterday with Bishop Meskov, Bishop Mikhail, Father Simeon, we were in Philadelphia participating in the dedication of Armenian Heritage Walk. While physically we were there, our minds were always with New Yorkers. Following the weather channel, 100% rain, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5, 6, 7, there was not even one chance, 1% chance. That's why I would like to say thank you, O Lord. Thank you for everything and making available today this sunshine so that the children of Mount Ararat, the Armenians, are here to celebrate once again and commemorate the first genocide of 1915. Please raise. We thank you, Almighty Lord, for making us worthy to commemorate the 111th anniversary of the Armenian genocide at the heart of New York City, Times Square. This crossroads of the world, to invoke and to render respectful tribute to our 1.5 million martyrs who became the victims of massacres and deportation from their 5,000-year-old homeland. The goal of our remembrance of the genocide is neither to enhance vengeance nor to perpetrate animosity, but to make both ourselves and the world aware that there has been no end to such atrocities. The fact is that the genocide of 1915 and following years committed by Turkey unfortunately continues today through the actions of its brother impunity, Azerbaijan. A string of genocidal acts have been committed against Armenians in the space of 35 years, starting with the pogroms of Sumgayit and Yerovabad in 1988, Baku in 1990, Marara in 1992, that led to the uprooting of 300,000 Armenians from Azerbaijan. And most recently, 120,000 Armenians from Artsakh in 2023. The act have not only been against people. The cultural genocide in Nakhichevan that peaked in 2005 with the erasure of thousands of Khachkars from the Julfa Cemetery is now being matched by the destruction of the churches. Most recently, one last month in Stepanakert, Nagorno-Karabakh. The commemoration of the Armenian genocide is not self-serving, but it is a contribution to addressing today's blatant injustice and helping prevent future genocides. Our cause is no different from the causes of all minorities worldwide who are suffering the scare of injustice, discrimination, and dictatorship in the face of global indifference. The heirs of the perpetrators and their partners in criminal silence should be aware that denial, distortion, and oppression will not prevent us from walking from one end of the world to the other to proclaim our right, because our endurance does not recognize limits. Our patience, our endurance is deeper than the oceans and higher than the mountains. We should expect from the Turkish young generation, those who are surrounding us right now, I address to them, the young generation of 2026, to become aware of the facts of criminal history that characterized the so-called Young Turks in 1915. In time, that awareness would pave the way one day for Turkish authorities to assume the responsibility of their forefathers and to take the road toward justice and fair peace. With this understanding and spirit, we thank you, Almighty Lord, for giving us the strength to defy misery and death and come to the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are thankful for all statesmen and stateswomen, past and present, who have not spared their commitment to ensuring the triumph of justice. May God grant peace to the world, so we may live in mutual understanding, harmony, and prosperity. Der uriyas knasas mer ijana baris kharagutyan. Der uriya yevarach noktya hokvot merot. Yevamenayn havadatselot. Kanal haktharagutyan jana baris yevigyansin havidenis. Amen.
You're listening to a live program from Times Square, and we just heard Archbishop Anushav Antanelyan, prelate of the Armenian Church of America.
Every year, we have welcomed esteemed members of Congress to the Times Square Armenian Genocide Commemoration to hear their remarks and efforts regarding Armenian Genocide affirmation and their ongoing advocacy work to benefit the Armenian people in the diaspora and the homeland. New Jersey Congressman Frank Pallone is a founding co-chair of the Congressional Caucus on Armenian Issues. He has been a staunch advocate for Armenian people, both in the United States and in Armenia. He was instrumental in U.S. recognition of the Armenian Genocide and has supported pro-Armenian legislative actions in Congress. Congressman Pallone has served as the U.S. representative for New Jersey's 6th Congressional District since 1988 and has been a prominent figure in U.S. policy in the areas of healthcare, environmental protection, and international human rights. Please welcome Congressman Frank Pallone to the podium.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank both the Armenian organizations and all of you individually for your continued work in terms of genocide recognition and for the Republic of Armenia. Some may say, well, Congress recognized the Armenian genocide a few years ago, both the House and the Senate and the President at the time. But so why do we have to continue to do this? Well, we have to because we can't backtrack, right? I was upset this April 24th when I saw that President Trump did not use the word genocide in his commemorative address. I did not like the fact that that Vice President Vance, even though he went to Armenia and seemed to be trying to help in a major way, ended up deleting his message when he went to the genocide memorial. Now, I'm not trying to be too critical. I'm just saying that we cannot stop what we're doing. It's important that you be here today. It's important that you continue to speak out. I saw the sign that says that Turkey has to recognize the genocide, and that is true as well. So we have to keep being here. Thank you for being here. I also want to say, though, that we know, as was mentioned by the patriarch or by the archbishop, the reality is that Azerbaijan committed a genocide, ethnic cleansing in Artsakh, and we still have to deal with the Artsakh situation. People should be able to go back to Artsakh. There should be reparations if they decide not to go back. And we have not accomplished the goal also for the leaders of Artsakh who continue to be imprisoned in Baku and are going on trial or have been on trial. And so what we have to do is continue to speak out for Artsakh, for the leaders, for the people that were displaced. At the same time, we have to continue to work to protect Armenia. The Armenia Caucus, which I co-chair, it's a bipartisan caucus. I'm the Democratic chair. We have sponsored, and we're trying to get as many members of Congress to co-sponsor the Armenian Strategic Partnership Act. And the idea of that is to grow the United States and Armenia closer together, to recognize what I said about Artsakh, but also to provide better security guarantees for Armenia. We want to make sure that Armenia is not attacked by Azerbaijan or by Turkey. You know, it's in a dangerous area. And until we are able to build up the security of Armenia, meaning that we should help Armenia, the United States, with, you know, military assistance, humanitarian assistance, economic assistance, to get to the point where there cannot be any more threat of a military attack from Azerbaijan on Armenia. So these are ongoing concerns that we have, ongoing efforts that we are trying to achieve. And with your help, you should contact your members of Congress, ask them to co-sponsor the Armenian Strategic Partnership Act, and continue to be outspoken as members of the diaspora in favor of this great country that we so admire and they want to protect. So thank you again. Thank you again for being here.
You're listening to the Armenian Radio Hour of New Jersey on 89.5 FM. This is a live broadcast from Times Square.
Thank you, Congressman, for your steadfast support. We will now welcome to the stage Leslie Bolosian Murphy, current chair of the New York City Community Board 4 and a candidate for New York City Council District 3 in the upcoming special election on April 28th. She is also a board member of the Times Square Alliance, which helps make this event possible here every year.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for letting me be here. And yes, I am 100% Armenian, despite what I look like. So today we gather to remember the Armenian genocide, an atrocity that claimed the lives of more than 1.5 million Armenians and uprooted countless families from our homeland. For many, this history is something they may have once read about, like my friends. Maybe they heard about it at school or at a library, but for us, it's something that's carried in our family's memory. My grandparents fled the Armenian genocide and ended up here in New York City, not knowing a stitch of English, with the hope that somewhere in the world, they might find safety. They came to America, rebuilt their lives, and created a home where their children and grandchildren, myself, could live freely and carry on our proud Armenian traditions. When I stand here among you, I am reminded that every Armenian family carries a version of this story. It could be different details, it could be different villages, different losses, but the same thread of endurance. We are here because our ancestors refused to let the world erase them. When I speak about the Armenian genocide, I am not speaking about a distant tragedy. I am speaking about the reason I am here today, why we are all here today, about the strength of my grandparents who endured the horror of the Turks so that their family could live. Our story is one of survival, but it is also a reminder of what happens when the world looks away from injustice. Commemoration is not only about honoring the past, it is about carrying forward the responsibility our Armenian history demands of us. When we acknowledge the truth of the Armenian genocide, we affirm the dignity of those who were lost and the resilience of us collectively as a people. We are still fighting today, unbelievably, genocide deniers. But that denial allows injustice to grow, and our remembrance pushes back. This is about protecting our culture, our community, and our history. And I stand in here in unity to remember the Armenian genocide and push back against Armenian genocide deniers. Thank you very much for having me here today.
You're listening to a live feed from New York. Let me quickly mention that this live feed can also be watched. It's being live streamed by the volunteers of the Armenian Radio Hour. All you've got to do is go to the Armenian Radio Hour New Jersey website.
And claiming the future reminds us that while we remember and honor the victims of the Armenian genocide, we must also continue to educate the world about the truth and history of the Armenian genocide and to fight for global recognition. Genocide is an international crime against humanity. And as we look at the world around us today, it is clear that genocide has not been eradicated. When genocide denial is perpetrated, as it was for the Armenian people, it allows other perpetrators to execute the same horrific massacres. We must stand together to condemn these perpetrators, who should publicly acknowledge their crimes and be brought to justice, to ensure that the intentional destruction of a people will never occur again. We thank the American diplomats, particularly Ambassador Henry Morgenthau Sr., who played a significant role in documenting and exposing the Armenian genocide, and whose efforts brought awareness and concern for the Armenian people. This led to the founding of organizations such as the Near East Relief, one of the greatest humanitarian efforts in American history. This helped save hundreds of thousands of Armenian orphans. We'd like to also thank the ongoing efforts of the Armenian Network of America, the Armenian Youth Federation, the Armenian Relief Society, the Armenian General Benevolent Union, and countless other groups continuing the legacy of philanthropy and activism. Thank you.
We'd now like to take a moment to acknowledge Governor Kathy Hochul's proclamation. In the state of New York, April 24th was officially recognized as Genocide Remembrance Day. As we stand together in one of the cultural capitals of the world, we also want to recognize New York City Mayor Mamdani's statement on X, honoring the 1.5 million Armenians murdered by the Ottomans. He affirms that we must refuse to let history repeat itself and the right of all people to freedom, safety, and self-determination. Thank you, Mayor. We also have a brief statement on behalf of Congressman Mike Lawler, who couldn't join us today. He sent that, while I can't be there with you all, I wanted to send along my regards to the Knights and Daughters of Vatan as you commemorate 111 years since one of the darkest chapters in human history, the Armenian Genocide, in which 1.5 million Armenians were systematically murdered beginning in 1915. Remembering these events today is not passive, because with it carries responsibility. Responsibility to speak the truth. Responsibility to confront denial. And responsibility to ensure that never again is more than just words. As an active member of the Congressional Armenian Caucus, I've supported efforts to advance Armenian genocide education and hold Azerbaijan accountable through sanctions legislation. I've also joined bipartisan efforts calling for the release of Armenian prisoners and for the safe return of displaced Armenians to their homes. In 2023, more than 120,000 Armenians were forcibly displaced from Artsakh, families uprooted, communities erased, a people driven from their ancestral homeland. We must act with clarity, with purpose, and with conviction to honor those who were lost, to stand with those who have suffered, and to ensure that the promise of never again is one we are willing to uphold. Thank you, Congressman.
Next, we will also read a statement on behalf of Congressman Tom Kane, U.S. Representative for New Jersey's 7th Congressional District. I want to thank the Knights and Daughters of Vatan for inviting me to participate in this solemn commemoration of the 111th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. I regret that I am not able to join you in person this year. However, I would like to share a short message with all of you. Today is an important display of unity that prevents the atrocities committed upon the Armenian people, specifically the deaths of 1.5 Armenian men, women, and children from being forgotten. We know from history that letting crimes against humanity be forgotten, ignored, or denied only ensures that such atrocities will be repeated in the future. In our efforts to achieve a world in which human rights are universally recognized, we must never forget what happens when those rights are denied. It is with this sentiment in mind that I am committed to ensuring Azerbaijan does not use force against any territory internationally recognized as sovereign Armenia, and to securing a durable, lasting peace between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Today, the Armenian-American community is strong in New Jersey and across the country. I am proud to continue the work and legacy of my father, Governor Tom Kane, in ensuring that these atrocities are remembered and that the incredible contributions of the Armenian-American community continue to be recognized. Thank you again for the opportunity to join you today and for your continued diligence. Thank you.
Up next, we have our first musical performance by Karina Vartanyan. Karina is a classical soprano and an Armenian community activist based in New York.
You're listening to the Armenian Radio of New Jersey on 89.5 FM. I just want to remind our listeners that you can watch the entire commemoration taking place at Times Square by going to the Armenian Radio website, which is www.armenianradionj.net, and watch the entire program live. This is being brought by the Armenian Radio Hour volunteers. Ստեղը գուզեի շեշտել, որ երեք երիտասարդ ուժեր կան, որոնք կներկայացնեն հյուրերը. Անոնին է Լուսինե Բելերյան, Շանտել Նասրի և Նաիրի Դիրացույան. Իսկապես հպարտ պետք է զգանգաս և դասարդներով, որոնք կատարյալ կործը կատարեն և վստահ եմ ամեն տեսակի դիպատրաստությունները տեսած են, հայտակերը չսկսած, վարձկենին կատար. Մորեն է դված ենք այս աշխատանքին, որ գներգացվի այսօր Times Square-ի մեջ, և նորենք ուզենք շեշտել երդասարդ ուժերը, որոնք կովկովի է գած, համոզված են, որ բիդի շարնագեն իրենց բաբենական, ինչ ասենք, դժվարին գործերը, բիդի բայկարին հայ մնալ, և անոնց գլուխը այսօրերս Նյու Յորք քաղաքի մեջ գտնվի Հրանտ Գյուլյանի դղան, որ ունանուն է Հայկ Գյուլյան, և երբ խոսինք Հրանտ Գյուլյանի մասին, նաև պետք է ասենք քիչ ետքը, ավակ սպարաբեդ Ռոբերտ Ավակյանը պիտի խոսի, ինչպես նաև Դիրուի Լիլի Սարկիսյանը պիտի խոսի. Իսկ առաջնորդարանի կողմէ Very Reverend Father Simeon Odabashyan-ը խոս պիտի առնէ, այնպես որ բավական լեցուն է հայտակիրը, և գուսանք հետևիլ ամեն այդ խոսքերը և մասերը, ուր կարող ենք բիդի ընդմիջենք, անգամ հիվս շեշտենք, որ այս հայտակիրը նաև գլայվ շկրին գաղորդվի Հայկական ռադիոժամի վեբսայթի վրա, և այդ բոլոր աշխատանքը կատարած է Հայկական ռադիոժամի գամավորները գլխավորությամբ Ռաֆի Գրիգորյանի, Սերջ Պանոսյանի, Հակոբ Դիշոյանի, Միրամ Մալջանի, Քեյթ Բեջիկչյանի, Գրեգ Վարժաբեդյանի և այլ դղակը, որ այդտեղ են, Տալին Քյուպելյանը, Լորի Քյուպելյանը, Կատյա Քյուպելյանը, միշտ այսպեսի գմատտվինք և գմորնանք որոշ անուններ, բայց իսկապես բրավո մեր դղոց, մեր գամավորներուն, որոնք առանց ցայնի անխդիր գահաստին ամեն քաղաքային բաղադրիչներուն. Նաև քիչ ետք մի դելսենք Սրպազան Միշել Մուրադյանի, Հայ Գտուղեգի համայնքի ներգացուչ և ավելի ուշ նաև Հայ գազմագերբություններու ադենաբենները նաև խոսք մի դարնեն։ Այսօրվա երկու գլխավոր խոսողները բիդելան դոկտոր Հենրի Թերո և դոկտոր Ջեսի Արլենը, այդոնք պիտի խոսին գլխավոր խոսողները բիդելան և լրիվ բիդաղորդենք այդ ցեզի։ Նորեն և նորեն գուզեմ շեշտել, Ay say dakir live stream gukatsezi ete guzek tidel bat gernera polor videonera gernakertal Armenia Radio Hour nj.net website hagan radio jami.
Thank you so much, Karina. Next, we would like to welcome to the stage the Most Reverend Bishop Mikhail Muradyan, Bishop of the Armenian Catholic Eparchy of Our Lady of Nadeg, serving Armenian Catholics throughout the United States and Canada. Please help me in welcoming Bishop Mikhail Muradyan to give his remarks.
Your Eminence, Archbishop Tanielyan, Very Reverend Father Odabashian, Reverend Clergy, representatives of public authorities, representatives of Armenian political, cultural, and social associations. Dear brothers and sisters, today we stand in remembrance of one of the darkest chapters in human history, the Armenian Genocide, when over 1.5 million innocent Armenians were silenced, uprooted, and led to death. Yet, even in the face of such darkness, their voices were not extinguished. They echo still carried in our memory, our faith, and our identity. We are the voice of our ancestors. We are reminded of these powerful words, and for red liberty, there is a door. It is knocked upon by every blood of the martyrs. This is not only poetry. It is truth written in sacrifice. The blood of our martyrs was not shed in vain. It became a voice knocking on the conscience of the humanity, demanding justice, dignity, and truth. And today, my fellow Armenian Americans, we do not stand only as mourners. We stand as builders of the future. The door spoken of in this word is not closed. It is before us. Even generation is called to answer that knock. In a world that still struggles with injustice, denial, and violence, the memory of the Armenian holy martyrs challenges us. Will we choose silence, or will we choose courage? Will we allow history to repeat itself, or will we shape a future rooted in truth, justice, and peace? To see forward is to transform memory into mission. It means educating, speaking, and mostly living in a way that honors those who came before us. It means defending human dignity wherever it is threatened. It means building bridges where hatred once built walls. The future we envision is not one of revenge, but of justice, not of bitterness, but of healing, not of forgetting, but of faithful remembrance. The martyrs knock not to pull us backward, but to push us forward. Let us be the generation that opens that door. Let us carry their legacy, not as a burden, but as a light, and let us strive toward the world where liberty is not longer stained in red, but shines in peace for all humanity. As we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States, we are reminded that liberty must be continually renewed through truth and sacrifice. In the light of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we proclaim that death does not have the final word, and that hope rises even from the deepest wounds of history. Thus, memory becomes resurrection, guiding us to build a future where freedom, justice, and life triumph of all. God bless the United States of America, and God bless Armenia.
Իսկապես ոգևորի չերխոսկը կատոյգ ամենքի առաջնորդին։
Շող Թարպինյան is a leading member of the Armenian Democratic Liberal Party. Please welcome Շող to deliver her remarks.
For the past 40 years, we have gathered here in Times Square to commemorate the 1.5 million Armenian victims of the genocide. Today, at least 34 countries, along with international bodies, churches, and human rights organizations, have formally recognized this crime against humanity committed 111 years ago. When an atrocity is committed on such a vast scale, its consequences do not end with history. It embeds itself in the soul of a people, our heritage, our collective memory, and our psychological well-being have all been shaped by this trauma. We do not need further validation to know what the genocide occurred. We live with its consequences every day. But remembrance alone is not enough. The time has come for a renewed way of thinking, one rooted in unity, responsibility, and forward vision. We must recognize one another's pain and existence rather than allowing internal division to weaken us. Strengthening our present governance is not an act of submission. It is an act of national responsibility. An independent Armenian state that continues to reform, grow technologically and economically, and stand confidently on the world stage deserves our support and engagement. At the same time, it is the expectation of our spiritual institutions to contribute to the evolving life of our people, supporting faith, encouraging unity, and helping to strengthen our shared values over time. Progress within our governance and our spiritual life alike can serve as a meaningful expression of our enduring commitment to justice, integrity, and national dignity. Let us honor the memory of our martyrs, not only by remembering their suffering, but by building a future worthy of their sacrifice. Let us choose unity over division, responsibility over rhetoric, and faith grounded in ethics rather than power. Our history demands remembrance, but our future demands wisdom, courage, and a steadfast commitment to protecting our sovereignty, strengthening our institutions, and deepening our geopolitical awareness. Thank you.
We will now welcome to the podium Dr. Jesse Arlen. Dr. Arlen is a scholar and community leader serving as the director of the Kikor and Clara Zorab Information Center at the Eastern Diocese of the Armenian Church of America. He is also a postdoctoral research fellow in Armenian Christian Studies at Fordham University's Orthodox Christian Studies Center. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Arlen.
Thank you to Haik Gulyan and the Knights and Daughters of Vartan for inviting me to speak here today. Kerashnor Serpazan Hayrej, Arjanabadiv Harsurp, Batvagan Jurej, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, and children. Let me begin with a quotation. Days of torture came over us. Inconceivable tribulations found us. Foreigners alienated us from our place of dwelling, and our glory was turned to ruin. Death grew strong and swallowed us, and hell had no intention of saying, enough. We who resided in the land were banished. Those who were torn from their loved ones, if not slain by the sword, were dispersed like erratic stars. While you may have supposed this was a recollection of what happened in 1915, it actually was written in the 11th century by historian Aristakes of Lastovert as an elegiac prelude to his history, which describes invasions and conquests throughout Armenian lands, first by the Byzantines and then by the Seljuk Turks, which resulted in the slaughter, mass migration, exile, and dispersion of a large portion of the local Armenian population. Most migrated westward into various regions of the Byzantine Empire. A tale of two diasporas then ensued. Many diasporan communities eventually disappeared via assimilation, as had generations of earlier Armenian migrants into the East Roman or Byzantine Empire. But one region stood apart from the rest, the diaspora in Cilicia, Cilicia. There, Armenians lived not as defeated exiles, but managed to create anew, rebuilding the cultural institutions of their homeland on foreign soil. Churches, monasteries, schools, the centers of learning to train the next generation of leaders. The seat of the Catholicoset even relocated there, and though it was not the native homeland of the Armenian people, it soon became a thriving cultural center. In a stunning reversal of fortune, Cilician Armenians achieved a height of cultural production in literature, the visual arts, and architecture almost unrivaled by any other period of Armenian history. They did this in innovative ways, not just by imitating the past. There was fertile engagement and cross-cultural exchange with all the peoples of the Crusader Middle East, as well as Armenians back in the traditional homeland. Such cultural flourishing did not just happen on its own, but was an intentional project that required strategic planning and prioritizing, major investment and endowment, dedication and devotion, yes, passion and love. Love and care of one's own culture and a refusal to let the beauty, wisdom, and truth found in it perish from the earth. No matter the cost, no matter the conditions, no matter the circumstances, no matter the challenges. What about us here today? When Armenians began coming to this country, America, in the late 19th century, most of them did so as migrant workers. Many planned to return home after making sufficient money in America. It was only in the 1890s and first decades of the 1900s, with unrest, oppression, and violence spreading across the Ottoman Empire, that the mentality of Armenian immigrants started to shift, and they began to come with the intention to stay and build a new life here. Some who came to these shores, while proud to become Americans, hoped to preserve the Armenian language and culture. Others were happy to assimilate completely and forget their troubled past. After World War I, with Armenian orphans and destitute communities throughout the Middle East, the model of making money in America in order to send to Armenians overseas began to solidify. The primary role of Armenian Americans soon emerged. They were philanthropists, funders, donors, or sponsors of Armenians abroad, but not producers of culture in their own right. This contrasts sharply, for example, with the Armenian communities that formed in Lebanon and Syria in the 20th century, where efforts were made to establish cultural institutions and educate cultural leaders, writers, musicians, teachers, newspaper editors, who mastered the Armenian language and could produce new literary, artistic, and cultural works. Where Armenian culture was given attention in America, it was mostly in the form of passbooking preservation, whether in the form of museums or in preserving art forms unchanged from Ottoman times. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the role of American Armenians, not as producers of culture, but as philanthropists and patrons of culture abroad, was solidified even more. When American Armenians decided to invest in cultural institutions on a large scale, they mostly chose to do so not in this country, but overseas, whether in the Republic of Armenia or Artsakh. Meanwhile, as the generations go on, American-born Armenians have become less and less connected to Armenian culture, viewing it as something that lives mostly in the past or in another place overseas. Very few American-born Armenians have grown up to be cultural leaders, in part because schools and other cultural institutions in this country are less focused on producing such leaders and have relied more on Armenian communities abroad to come and fill this need. So I invite us gathered here today to ponder the following question. Do we believe that Armenian culture can flourish here in the United States? Or are we fated to disappear like some medieval Armenian diasporan communities? Will we rather choose to follow the model of medieval Cilicia and invest our time, energy, creativity, and resources in Armenian cultural institutions here on this foreign soil that is our new home? These questions seem more critical than ever in light of the ongoing depletion of the Armenian communities of the Middle East and the increasingly precarious conditions in the Republic of Armenia. Can we imagine together a new model for Armenian community life in America for the remainder of the 21st century and beyond? One that focuses on civilizational investment and cultural production in this country? Will our institutions and philanthropy aim to foster, nurture, and cultivate not only Armenian communities abroad, but to produce true heirs, masters, and makers of new Armenian culture here? Will the youth of this country not just aim to become successful, acquire wealth, and with some of their wealth support Armenian causes, but will they choose to become cultural leaders and makers of new Armenian culture here? Let's not delude ourselves. A culture that creates no new works of beauty is dead and lives on only in museums. A living culture is one that creates new things. Take the case of literature and consider this astonishing fact. When my late sister, Tenny Arlen, published a book of poetry in Armenian in 2021, 5 years ago, it marked the first time that someone born in this country produced a full-length volume of creative literature in the Armenian language. Thank you. Of course, many books have been published in Armenian in this country, but always by Armenians born somewhere else who came here. As a way to witness to the beauty and potential of new Armenian culture in the new world, I would like to close my remarks by reading from one of Tenny's poems called Baduma, the narration or the telling, recounting from the same root, Batmutun, history, Batmo, where she reflects on silence and the power of speech, the critical role of poets and storytellers to give meaning to our lives, to create anew after great loss, to speak into the silence a new story, new life, new beauty, new meaning. I'll read only the end of it, first the Armenian original and then the English translation, and I'm reading from this new book, which is a bilingual edition. As I read, let us ponder, as an Armenian-American community, can we build a new Armenian Dilakia here in America? Gmernink Lerutyan Antmechen. Koshibes. Gorbaduhani Hatsugilgina. Yep Gamat Damat Gahankchi. Poshin Antrajutyam Yev Jamanagov. Bargyanegatare. Batmutunagatare. Paderun Chanchuma. Yanki Animasutun. Yev Ashkar Pushrank Neru Gaverazdi. Yep Hangards. Hoselo. Paderun Zenunta. Ashkari Vera Zenunta. Para. Shunche Peranen. Pochin Gardzarze. Yep Baduhani Hatuka Gabarze. Resvad Baduma Batmavadze. Bank Gabrink Batmogneren. Vorunk Einmagudan. Vorunk Shunchgudan. Pesta Lerutyan Mech. We die through silence. Like dust that falls to the windowsill and slowly settles. The dust in stillness and time buries the moment, buries the history. The obliteration of words, the meaninglessness of life, and the world breaks to pieces. When suddenly, through speech, the birth of words, the world's rebirth, the word, the breath from the mouth stirs the dust and uncovers the windowsill. The silenced narrative has been told. We live by those who tell, who give a voice, who give breath in the immense silence. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Arlen. For our next performance, please join us in celebrating Armenia's vibrant heritage as the International Arts Fund brings the acclaimed youth ensemble Armed Folk to communities across the East Coast and the Midwest. Featuring Armenian folk singers, dancers, and traditional musicians from the mother see of Holy Etmiadin Parash and Suzanne Tufayan Youth Center. We encourage you to see their whole show as part of their 2026 Armed Folk Armenian Cultural Exchange Tour. And please give them a round of applause and welcome Armed Folk.
Այժմ հայդակ իրագանցնի բարի, որ Armen Folk խումբը պիտի բարե, և այս ինը աղջկներու խումբը գուկան Էջմիածին են, գուկան Հրաչ և Սուզան Թուֆայանի գետրոն են, երդասարդ աղջկներ են, 13 են, 17 դարեկան. Պետք է շեշտեմ, այստեղ ես էլ եմ գուգտրեի այս Jesse Arlini Hoskera, Betke Iskabes Poloros Honarink Hai Mitki Archer. I think that Iskabes Dran Pailun Dramene Yev Medavoragane Yev Mezi Medazel Devav Yev Guda Jesse Arlena Yev Kuira Iskabes Pazarik Zavagneren Hajorti. Այստեղ շուտով հիշեմ, որ Փանաստեղծը գսե անցան վշտի տարերը նայոց, եգան գամքի տարերը նայոց, բոլորս պետք է լավակույնից ընելով, ինչպես գատոյգե Միշել Մուրադյանը ասավ, գատոյգե համայնքի առաջտորդը, սա պետք է բոլորը շինարար դառնանք, շինենք, ստեղծենք, դիմավորենք նոր արշալույս։ Գուզեի այստեղ են շեշտել, որ այս հաղորդումը նաև live stream-ի գուկա ցեզի, ite guze kedevil destal aiteri padadz New York ki gernakir tal radioi website shat barze Armenian Radio NJ.net aider gernakir devil live streamer New York Times Square ushavaki We are bringing to you a very live, a very, very live feed from New York. This is a live broadcast from New York. At the very moment, some young Armenian artists from Armenia are performing their dances. This is presented by a group entitled Armed Folk. And we are extremely proud of the youth of Armenia who are coming, visiting us. And also learning about our life in New York, in New Jersey, and other states. They had an excellent performance last night at the Abadjan Hall of Fairlawn Armenian Church, St. Leon Armenian Church. I was there. I witnessed the beautiful dancing. It was really spiritually uplifting. And as you can tell, there were three beautiful young ladies who are emceeing today's program at Times Square. I'd like to mention their names. They are doing an amazing job. Lucine Beylerian, Chantel Nasri, and Nairi Diratsuyan. I have to stress the youth are very, very involved in this year's commemoration at Times Square. Congratulations to them and to the community that worked so hard to make the young generation be involved, and they are involved. That is the best message we have today for the entire community, the Armenian nation, and the Armenian world. Armenian youth are here to make a difference. If you would like to watch a live streaming of this program from Times Square, you can go to the Armenian Radio's website. That is www.armenianradionj.net. I myself am following the ongoings at Times Square on my iPhone, and you can do that too. You will be able to see the many, many people who are there, the beautiful Armenian flags, the scouts of the Homenet men, and many, many in the crowd you may recognize if you're not there. Once again, the Armenian Radio Hour of New Jersey is carrying a live stream of the program from Times Square, and you can watch it on www.armenianradionj.net. Bidishan again, Kaidakira Times. Listening to a live feed from New York. We're listening to the music Gurung that every Armenian has sung or heard. Songs have a very powerful way of reaching the deepest parts of our souls, whether we are rejoicing or commemorating. songs have the ability to unite people. Powerful words set to melody can often say more than long speeches and lectures. When Armenians were forced from their homeland during the Armenian Genocide, they lost nearly all their material possessions. The magnitude of that loss is difficult to comprehend. Yet there was something they carried with them that could not be taken from them. Their songs, their prayers, their spirit. Even on the death marches through the desert, Armenians clung to their songs. If you come to think about it, in the humble homes across the world, these songs endured, helping preserve sanity, identity, and a sense of belonging to a people who refused to disappear. We are fortunate to still have these songs shared and passed down and even broadcast from Times Square over the airways of WSOU as we honor the memory of the 1.5 million Armenians who passed away. Let us all remember that these are the songs that sustained Armenians through unimaginable hardship and carried them towards the better days we do experience now. Listen to the music.
In the city of Adana,
take in the words. Reflect on their meaning. Take a moment to consider what this day represents to you, what it represents to your family and your community. Know thyself, know thy people, know thine history.
Sometimes entire families were wiped out. They were accused, convicted, sentenced to die because they dared to call themselves Christians. Their crime was in believing in a God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sins. By 1950, 1.5 million Armenians were ruthlessly slaughtered because they would not renounce their faith. Unpunished, none deterred, the ones responsible for the massacre in Adana set the stage for the terrible genocide of the Armenian people. This is their story.
What is happening at Times Square is that the 10 young ladies who are visiting us from Armenia are at this very moment dancing to the music of Adana.
Down the street, out of state.
Never again would they hunger and thirst. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, would be their shepherd. He would lead them to springs of living water, and God would wipe away every tear from their eyes. They would encircle the throne of God, singing to a great I Am. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is.
Once again, you're listening to the Armenian Radio Hour of New Jersey. This is a live feed from New York Times Square, where Armenians are gathered to commemorate the 111th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. April 24th is a very special day for Armenians, and for 111 years we have not forgotten, not budged, and we will keep remembering, and we cannot forget that day, whether it's the old Armenian moms or the young Armenian generation that is in question, we are there, we are standing up, and we definitely will move forward. There is no other way but to build a future step by step on a healthy ground and be in support with Armenia.
Applause for that very impactful performance in the heart of Times Square. So The Times Square Armenian Genocide Commemoration is sponsored and organized by the Knights of Vardhan, an Armenian fraternal service organization dedicated to serving the Armenian people on a local, national, and international level. This event was also made possible by the Daughters of Vardhan, a sister organization that shares the same principles and is committed to the preservation of our Armenian cultural heritage. I would now like to invite Grand Chairwoman of the Daughters of Vardhan, Lily Sisnia, to the podium to share their remarks. Thank you.
Good afternoon to our clergy and all who have come to join us in this commemorating of the 111th anniversary of the 1915 Armenian Genocide, the first genocide of the 20th century. Special thanks to our Knights and Daughters of Vardhan, officers and members who are here today. In Armenian communities worldwide and across the United States, Armenians gather to honor the memory of the 1.5 million martyrs of the Armenian Genocide of 1915, perpetrated by the Ottoman Empire. These observances are not only an acknowledgement of what happened, but also a collective commitment to prevent such atrocities from occurring again. They tried to annihilate us, but we will continue to prove otherwise by staying strong and growing all over the world. They will never succeed. We'll continue to persevere and never forget. In 1939, Adolf Hitler remarked, "Who after all speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians?" 1 week before the invasion of Poland. This comment was made to justify the brutality of the upcoming invasion of Poland. It is cited by historians as evidence that Hitler anticipated international apathy regarding his planned atrocities, referencing the Armenian genocide as a precedent for successful mass extermination that led to the Holocaust. Turkey continues to deny the genocide ever occurred and tries to silence anyone that speaks the truth. If the world continues to be complacent, it will happen again. History will repeat itself. In recent years, we were faced with the ethnic cleansing of Artsakh's indigenous Armenian population by Azerbaijan. The U.S. must recognize this crime against humanity and help release the Artsakh POWs that are still being held by Azerbaijan. We must prevent future genocides and ethnic cleansing. As we reflect on the atrocities of the past, we can be thankful that our ancestors survived, allowing us to move forward even if we do not receive the recognition we seek. There is overwhelming evidence that genocide occurred. Thousands of stories are horrific. My great-grandparents were trapped and burned alive in an Armenian church in Marash, Turkey. Anyone trying to escape out the doors or windows were shot to death. My grandmother survived with a bullet in her hip and walked across the Syrian desert with her siblings to safety in Damascus. I'm thankful that my grandmother eventually made it to Jerusalem and went on to build her life with my grandfather in Lebanon and in the United States. For several generations, they have over 50 grandchildren. Today, there are well over 1 million Armenians living in the United States, thriving, leading their communities, raising families, and working diligently. Their kindness, compassion, love, and Christian spirit continue to shine and always will. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. And now I'd like to invite Grand Commander of the Knights of Vartan, Robert Avakian, to share his remarks.
Thank you, Chantel. Greetings, my friends. We're a national charitable brotherhood. We're coming to a town near you. So I hope when we get there, you'll be enthused about joining us. We have a lot of work to do, but want to make two shout-outs right away. There's one for Mayor Mamdani, who issued a wonderful letter. It was amazing. And also to my dear friend, Julian, who brought this all together from a lot of ups and downs this week. Big shout-out. I want you to know I like you guys, and I'm cutting my speech in half. So a new day and a new way may be coming when the proverbial level playing field will lay out in front of us. Validating DNA will support our platform, leading to a general reinstatement of our homeland and reparations. The current genocidal dialogue includes a whitewashing of our historical evidence. These genocidal discussions are no longer on the table, according to some sources. But remember the positive critical sparks of Horan Dink, the thousands of humane Turks who marched in his funeral procession. Remember the estimated 2 million Armenian grandmothers who showed up in charts on search sites until they were banned by the government. This genetic connectivity cannot be denied. These embedded elements are rebonding and creating new bridges for us. Our borders should not be seen as random designations, and one man's signature to a document of falsehood does not bind a nation and its factual sovereignty. The historical accuracy of these truths will be irrefutable to those who challenge us. The repetitive cycle of pogroms, massacres, genocides and Holocaust stain the pages of our historical record, and yet they will be recognized for their relevant weight and truth one day. And the sainted martyrs will march again with us, and our purged Turkish brethren will be legitimately re-educated on the enslavement and cultural eradication program that was used by a predecessor government will all be unveiled. Indeed, when the clarion call sounds throughout the highlands to ring in the new day of atonement, the blessings of the Lord will rain down on Armenians once again, I believe. Permit me to request that you look into the future for an observation by a visionary Turkish professor, Yes Tanarak Cam. Quote, if Turkey leads a future struggle to remake itself into a democratic state and eliminate its apartheid agenda, then the total recognition of the Armenian genocide will be possible. This is our impactful prayer of purpose today on this genocide commemoration day. We can carry the spark forward with his grace and our steadfast faith. That is why we are here commemorating the awesome strength of spirit of our ancestors. This is the least respect we can show them. God bless you and your families on this genocide commemoration day, and may you live well and prosper, and may he guide our steps now and for the ages. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Grand Commander. This event is also made possible by co-sponsoring organizations in our community. First, we will hear from Sarah Leah Winston from the Armenian Bar Association. She is a leading human rights advocate and attorney known for her decades of work promoting justice and accountability around the world. She previously led the Middle East and North Africa Division at Human Rights Watch, later serving as the executive director of Democracy for the Arab World Now, where she focused on advancing human rights and democratic reform. Please join me in welcoming Sarah to deliver her remarks.
On behalf of the Armenian Bar Association and our community of American and Canadian lawyers, I thank you for this opportunity to address you today. I, like I'm sure so many of you, am a descendant of genocide survivors and testament to the fact that the memory, the trauma, the defiance, the anger, and most of all, the spirit of survival have not dissipated with the passage of 111 years. I wish we're standing here today only to commemorate the Armenian genocide in our ongoing struggle for recognition, in our persistent refusal to submit to erasure and denial, in our hope and prayer that remembering the past and condemning the perpetrators would shield us from repeating the crimes of the past. Instead, we are awash in genocide. From the forced displacement of Armenians from their historic lands in Artsakh to the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza, aided and abetted by our own government, and now even a threatened genocide in Iran, the destruction of the Iranian civilization promised by our president at the hands of American and Israeli forces. President Trump's craven refusal to acknowledge the genocide did not surprise our community. We have long seen political leaders, history, and our suffering like a political football to be picked up and tossed around when convenient and useful. Even Armenian leaders like Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan appear willing to use our genocide like a bargaining chip in negotiations. Of course, we feel earnest relief that disgraced former Mayor Eric Adams has been kicked out of office, coupled with disgust that President Trump intervened to shield him for punishment for his cheap and petty corruption, bargaining away recognition of this genocide for a few business class upgrades on Turkish Airlines and luxury hotel nights in Istanbul. We are dismayed that Trump has also pardoned Congressman Henry Cuellar, who remains in office today, despite his acceptance of filthy bribes to ensure U.S. weapons used to destroy Armenian villages and towns. This makes us even more grateful, and we will remain steadfast in support of leaders here in New York, like Mayor Zohran Mamdani and Governor Kathy Hochul, who have spoken clearly and unequivocally to condemn the atrocities and, most significantly, to call out the stubborn denial and ongoing crimes of Turkey and Azerbaijan. The Armenian Bar Association has worked to document and demand accountability for the heinous Azeri destruction of Armenian churches, art, and ancient religious artifacts. A crime against humanity that deprives the entire world of the cherished gifts of our spiritual and cultural endeavors. We are horrified that the world has stood silent as Azeri forces just this week deliberately and maliciously destroyed the largest Armenian church in Stepanakert, Artsakh. We will continue to fight Israel's persecution of the 1,500-year-old Armenian community in Jerusalem, as it permits the theft and encroachment of the Armenian quarter by Jewish settlers. As Armenians, we may not have a great deal of power and influence and money to alter the behavior of governments, even our own, amidst so many crimes and so much brutality. But we will do our part to be active and engaged members of the better side of humanity. We have a duty to fight the scourges of racism and hatred that see their ultimate expression in the crime of genocide, not just for Armenians, but for victims worldwide today, now, from Gaza to Lebanon to Iran. We have a responsibility as Armenians to address the failures of our own government and political leaders, because we must seek change and accountability first here at home. So here we are today, resilient and defiant, a symbol of the survival and struggle of our people. Here we are today, doing our part, not only for the Armenian people, but for all of us around the world, the living and breathing conscious of our planet, energizing the spirit of mankind in the words we speak today, our ongoing global struggle for justice and accountability. Thank you all today for doing your part, not just as a memorial to our past, to our ancestors, but a beacon of hope for the future. Thank you. Our next speaker serves as the Executive Director of the Armenian Assembly of America, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and advocates on Capitol Hill. Please welcome Brian Arjuni from Armenian Assembly.
Good afternoon. Afternoon. Yay. All right. Thank you to the Knights and Daughters and to every organization, individual who made this gathering possible. Today, as we do every April, we stand together not only to remember those who perished, but to honor the unbreakable will of those who survived. We carry the wounds of 1915 with us, and we will not allow the world to forget. But let us be clear, remembrance alone is not enough, because in 2023, the world watched as Armenians were ethnically cleansed from Artsakh. And during this solemn month, yet another Armenian church has been destroyed, as its history itself was targeted for erasure. And we say, never again means never again now. We are not here just to remember and to mourn. We are here to stand united against continued threats to the Armenian people. We stand united against denial, destruction, and silence. And we call on our elected officials to stand with us, not just in words, but in action. Stand for justice. Stand for truth. Stand for protection of the first Christian nation. This is our responsibility. This is our moment, and we're not standing still. Earlier this month in Washington, D.C., during the Armenian Assembly's Advocacy Summit, we had advocates from across the country, including 130 college students, who raised their voices in the halls of Congress. They did not whisper. They did not hesitate. They spoke with clarity and conviction. And let me tell you, this next generation is not waiting. They are ready. They are determined, and they will carry this cause forward. So today we do more than remember. We recommit. We recommit to truth. We recommit to justice. We recommit to action. And we will not rest until the Armenian people live not under threat, but in dignity, in security, and in strength. For our past, for our present, and for our future. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I have the distinct pleasure of introducing my co-MC, Nairi Diratsuyan, representing the Armenian National Committee of America. She serves as the executive director of the Eastern Region, supporting a network of local activists across 31 states, including myself. In this role, she helps equip and coordinate 34 local ANCs with tools to advance civic engagement initiatives and advocacy efforts at the local, state, and federal levels. Today also happens to be her birthday, so happy birthday, Nairi, and welcome to the podium.
In 1915, 1.5 were subjected to a campaign of annihilation, forcibly uprooted from their ancestral lands, driven on brutal death marches, and met with starvation and slaughter. As we honor those who perished, we recognize this was not only an attack on our people, but a deliberate attempt to erase our history obliterate our culture and sever our connection to the future. The reverberations of the Armenian genocide still echo in the heart of every Armenian. This was not an isolated tragedy confined to history's pages. The Armenian genocide was part of a broader, systematic campaign of annihilation, a campaign that began long before 1915 with the brutal Hamidian massacres of 1890, and one that persists today. It is a cycle fueled by hatred, enabled by indifference, and perpetuated by the ongoing denial of its existence. Genocide denied and unpunished is genocide repeated. The crimes of 1915, along with the genocidal ethnic cleansing of Artsakh, remain unaddressed. There has been no accountability for the genocidal actions committed by Turkey and now by Azerbaijan. Without universal recognition, appropriate accountability, reparations, restitution, and preventative measures, the cycle of brutality continues unabated. From the deserts of Deir Zor to the valleys of Artsakh, this cycle of genocide persists, unfolding in stages, with deliberate attacks on the civilian population of Artsakh, followed by the nine-month blockade, and culminating in the genocide of 2023, captured in haunting images of families forced to flee as the specter of annihilation loomed once again. It continues in the illegal detention of Armenian prisoners of war and political hostages, in the ongoing Azerbaijani occupation of sovereign Armenian land, in the desecration of churches and monasteries, the defacement of Armenian cross stones, the destruction of cultural heritage sites, and the ancient connection to our ancestral land. It endures through relentless efforts to rewrite our history and perpetuate denial. As descendants of genocide survivors, we know that the survival of the Armenian people is never guaranteed. It lives through what we choose to protect, what we refuse to surrender, and what we fight to preserve. The recognition of the Armenian genocide by U.S. Congress in 2019 was a step. But recognition is fragile, a living promise that must be defended daily. Through the result of decades of tireless advocacy, it remains vulnerable to denial and revisionism, as we see Ankara's ongoing gag rule extend to the shores of the United States and Azerbaijan's attempts to silence elected officials who speak truth about their crimes against humanity. Only through sustained engagement at every level of government, local, state, and federal, can we preserve recognition. Local government, where this fight first ignited, remains a critical battleground. It is where we lay the groundwork, mobilize our communities, and create a ripple effect that reaches state houses and the halls of Congress for the recognition of both the Armenian genocide and the Artsakh genocide, and for meaningful accountability for those who perpetrate genocide. Our responsibility is to carry that torch forward, to ensure that the legacy of our ancestors shapes the future we are building. Let us stand not merely as witnesses, but as architects of a future where the Armenian people live free, safe, and sovereign on their indigenous lands, the cradle of our identity, our heritage, and our future. Let us honor their dignity by transforming remembrance into action, by advancing genocide education, including the passage of the Armenian Genocide Education Act, and by pressing for concrete measures of accountability. Recognizing the genocidal actions perpetrated by Azerbaijan, the immediate release of Armenian prisoners of war and political hostages, and the right of return for the Armenian people of Artsakh. Let us call for the imposition of global Magnitsky sanctions against Azeri officials responsible. And let us call for the restriction of U.S. military aid for a regime that seeks to destroy us from the map. We honor them by ensuring our voices are heard, by engaging with our representatives, strengthening our local Armenian National Committee chapters and taking part in advocacy at every level of government, from here to Capitol Hill. Because this fight is not abstract. It is one each of us has the power to take part in. And it is through that action, sustained, collective, and unrelenting, that we ensure our cause is heard, our history is defended, and our fight continues. Thank you.
Next, speaking on behalf of the Armenian General Benevolent Union is Aren Kabarajian, co-chair of AGBU's Young Professionals of New York Network. Please welcome Aren and give his remarks. Thank you.
Reverend clergy, honored guests, knights and daughters of Vatan, my fellow Armenians, we gather today in Times Square for those whose voices were nearly silent. 111 years ago, the Ottoman Empire attempted to erase the Armenian nation from the earth. They failed. Our presence is proof. On April 24, 1915, the Armenian genocide began with the arrest and deportation of intellectuals in Constantinople, followed by the systematic murder of 1.5 million Armenians. Today, in that same city, the Istanbul governor has banned genocide commemorations for the fifth consecutive year. But the world knows the truth. Our lands were taken, people forced on death marches, our families torn apart, including my own, and yet Armenians rose again. The strength of our ancestors is not just memory. It is inheritance. It is ours to carry forward. Let us remember that the darkest chapter of our history was also one that showed incredible unity. Within AGBU's history, we have clear examples of that. Established in 1906, our founders quickly built a global network of support for their work. When Armenians living under the Ottoman Empire needed it most, AGBU emerged as a lifeline for people facing devastation. During the Armenian genocide, when hundreds of thousands were displaced, orphaned, and left without support, AGBU mobilized urgently to provide humanitarian relief. Diaspora Armenians stepped up in remarkable ways. In the U.S. alone, 60 chapters mobilized to fundraise and coordinate with local NGOs and with government officials to ensure aid could be delivered to thousands in need across refugee camps from Greece to Palestine and throughout the Middle East. AGBU's work did not end with survival. The aftermath, it became a cornerstone of rebuilding Armenian life. We established orphanages, schools, and cultural institutions, ensuring that a generation of children who had lost everything could still inherit their language, identity, and hope. We invested in education and community building, helping Armenians reestablish themselves in new countries while preserving our Hayatun. Today, we must all do our part to contribute to the preservation of memory and heritage. As the first post-genocide generation grows older, we must record their stories. Let us document our elders' tales in order to retain the cycles of knowledge of our upbringing and honor our people. To my fellow young Armenians, sit with your mezmamas and mezbabas. Ask them questions. Listen to them closely. Cherish that time. Remember to nurture the culture or identity you have. It is something we all need to hold closely. If we are not proud of our heritage, it will start to fade. After 1915, Armenians rebuilt, establishing their presence in the spirit of survival through sacrifice, resilience, and community. We must continue that work. Let us focus on channeling their strength and endurance. Our churches, schools, cultural programs, and gatherings like this sustain us. They are vital to keep our community thriving. Support them, fill them, enjoy them, keep them alive. 11 days ago, AGBU celebrated its 120th anniversary. I am proud to stand here today speaking for our organization as co-chair of the AGBU Young Professionals of Greater New York, a representative of the next generation of engaged leaders as a testament to its past, but in commitment to the future, to both the future of AGBU and the future of the Armenian people. Let's vow to carry on the tradition of service and leadership. Each of us is here in honor of our collective history, and we will ensure our collective prosperous future. On behalf of AGBU, I extend thanks to the Knights of Vatan for organizing this commemoration, and to all fellow co-sponsors for making today possible. Thank you to everyone who's made it a point to be here today, especially the younger generation of today and tomorrow's leaders. Your presence is greatly appreciated. As we commemorate the Armenian genocide, we must stand up for people in the world who are in our same shoes. Let's condemn those who carry out genocide to be the voices we needed when the world turned a deaf ear. Remembrance is not passive. It is a conscious choice. It requires showing up as we have today. Armenians still face erasure, as seen in recent events in Artsakh and Jerusalem. We must stand strong as a diaspora and support our people everywhere, for in unity is strength. Let us vow never to let silence prevail. Let us raise our voices together. We demand recognition of the genocide. We are here, we remember, and we are not going anywhere. Thank you.
We will now welcome Aram Arkun to the podium. He is the executive director of the Tekean Cultural Association, a nonprofit dedicated to promoting Armenian literature, art, and heritage throughout the diaspora.
Your Eminences, Your Grace, very reverend and reverend fathers, esteemed guests, it's always a pleasure to be here. I'm a New Yorker born and bred, so I love being in New York with my fellow Armenians. Even if, and excuse me if my teeth are chattering, it's a little cold, but I appreciate your patience in attending this event. I'm reluctant to begin on a somber note, but Armenians find themselves, as you already heard and you know, in a difficult situation. Even though 111 years have passed since the start of the Armenian Genocide, its reverberations continue to haunt us. And there's even a demonstration, as many of you know, right behind us. So it's something that we seem, you know, those who say this is all stuff from the past, it's not from the past. We're living its continuation even now. And here in the U.S., you heard already the mayor of New York City has reversed the policy of his predecessor and openly issued a public statement on the genocide. The president of these United States has reverted this year to avoiding the use of the word to describe the events. By dozens of countries around the world which recognize what happened to the Armenians as genocide, denial by Turkish organizations, and the Turkish state continues to interfere on all levels of life here and elsewhere. International law has failed in providing any true remedies for the Armenians and has failed time and time again in preventing the genocide of other peoples. So never again, which we heard before, remains just a phrase. Meanwhile, the presence of Armenians on lands historically Armenian for millennia shrank with the war of 2020 and the final attack in 2023 by Azerbaijan, which led to the ethnic cleansing of Artsakh, internationally known as Nagorno-Karabakh. The Republic of Armenia itself is in a precarious situation. Parts of its territory have been forcibly occupied by Azerbaijan, which periodically lays claim not only to a corridor through southern Armenia, but also to the remainder of Armenia, which it calls western Azerbaijan. In other words, the existence of the last sliver of historically Armenian territory still populated by Armenians and the lives of those Armenians is now in question. And we are living in a world where might makes right. In a weakened state, it seems that the current government of Armenia is not able to raise its voice in defense of the rights of the Armenian refugees from Artsakh and their cultural legacy, which is being destroyed by Azerbaijan on the lands they were obliged to leave. Furthermore, the Armenian government appears compelled to stop its efforts for international recognition of the Armenian genocide and any sort of historical justice. But the Armenians are an ancient people with a strong sense of history. We began recording and reflecting on our histories almost immediately after developing our own alphabet in the 5th century AD with a chain of medieval historians. Moreover, even today, we continue to commemorate the Battle of Avarar, which we lost over 1,500 years ago, and a nod here to the Knights of Vartan. And parenthetically, I also happen to be Avak Sibrabed, in other words, Grand Recorder, together with
You're listening to a live broadcast from Times Square. We tried our best to share with you the highlights of Times Square commemorative gathering. As our program comes to an end, I'd like to just echo the words of a great Armenian poet, Charents, who sent us a message, a cryptic message, and the message was, O Armenian people, your only salvation lies in the power of your unity. This was a message from the renowned 20th century Armenian poet, writer Yeghishe Charents. Charents emphasized that national survival and strength can only be achieved through solidarity and collective action. Ich spreche Sink. Ansandvishti Tariran Hayots, Yegan Gamki Tariran Hayots. Haydakira Chavardaj Guzei Sheshtel Te Gehedevi Tamskuri Խոսքերը եւ դեսերանդերը եւ շատ դպավորիչ էր թեև չի հայդարրիցին անուննին շատ դպավորիչ էր հոմետ պենի դղոց հբարդ գեցվածքը տրոշակները բրնած գույնակեղ հբարդ գեցվածքնին իսկապես դպավորիչ էր ամբեսուր գշնորովոր ենք հոմետ պենի սկաուտները մաստավոր շնորհակալություն ռադիոժամի դղոց Rafik Grigoryani, Serge Panosyani, Talin Kupelyani, Lauren Kupelyani, Katya Kupelyani, Kayla Bajikjani, Miran Maljanin, Hagop Tishoanin, եւ այլ դուց որ այդտեղ են եւ անոնիմ կովս չի, I suppose. Աջակցություն բոլոր մեր խաղուտի անդամներուն ինչ ենք բոլորս գիտենք ինչ պետք է անենք, այնպես որ մնա մեզի առողջ կեցվածքը և ընենք ինչ որ պետք է։ Այս Նյու Ջերսի հայկական ռադիոժամն է և անգամ ևս կուզենք գալ գերագիտ ես տվինք ժամի 4-ի միջով։